off the ball rugby.
There was a goal in the two teams, and that was the most disheartening thing. And does that mean that Leicester can't come back? No, of course. Like, of course they can rebuild, but the mountain is bigger than it's ever been.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
You're welcome back to Wednesday Nights Off the Ball, or welcome along even to Wednesday Nights Off the Ball. Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up tonight, we're going to be joined by Brian O'Driscoll from 7:30. He is going to run the rule over what happened to Leinster in Bilbao on Saturday against Bordeaux Beglep. From 8 to 9, we're going to be bringing you the first in our new series of Inner Drive, and it's a great first episode for you. It is Troy Parrott. We were in Alkmaar last month, in fact, the very day after they had celebrated their Dutch Cup win. So this was the first trophy of Troy Parrott's senior football career, and the day after they won it, they had this big celebration, fireworks, loads of colour, big party, Troy Parrott singing his own song on a stage outside the AZ Alkmaar Stadium. And then the day after that, a remarkably fresh, I must say, I'm not even being ironic here, a remarkably fresh Troy Parrott came and met us for a feature-length interview. So we're bringing you that full documentary piece between 8 and 9 this evening. From 9 to 10 then, the football show is coming your way. It's Kevin Kilbane who's going to be joining us from Canada for that one. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to get in touch with us on WhatsApp, Arthur O'D is here in studio. How are you doing, Arthur?
Good.
And Will O'Callaghan is here for a fairly busy news round, I think it's fair to say, Will.
It is indeed. I tell you what, fair play to Troy. Not just scoring 5 goals in a week, but he could easily have pulled the old text out and went, can we go this afternoon or can we maybe do tomorrow instead?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't leave us hanging around, to be fair to him. He fronted up, I think it's fair to say. I think maybe we were in a position of power. We were like, we've flown all the way to you. You can't be pulling the plug on us now.
Yeah, and it is slightly easier after you've won a cup final. If they'd lost, it would have probably been a more difficult conversation, admittedly.
We've also been speaking to people who were formative when it comes to Troy Parrott's life and his footballing career as well. So coaches from Belvedere, his own family members as well. You're going to hear their voices in that piece as well. And I think as we discovered during the multiple different media outlets coverage of Prague and the playoff in Czechia, his mother Jennifer is a brilliant speaker, and she's going to be a big part of this episode on Troy Parrott of Inner Drive coming up after 8 o'clock. But as I say, it is a bumper news round, I think it's fair to say. Will, let's get straight into it. You're going to start with the Republic of Ireland.
We will, yeah. They're in camp at the moment ahead of the game against Qatar tomorrow, and Seamus Coleman was up for media earlier today. He insists he's focusing on these upcoming friendlies against Canada and Qatar before deciding on his future. The veteran defender brought the curtain down on his 17-year playing career with Everton last weekend. While the Toffees have offered him a coaching position to stay at the club, he is also considering options to play again next season elsewhere. Coleman says he'll be weighing up those options over the next couple of weeks.
You know, I've just finished up last week and was looking forward to coming into these two games. There'll be work being done in the background, but as of now, I'm looking forward to helping Ireland in the next two games and getting on holiday with my family and just seeing what's next. No, listen, as I said, I've always said my career, family first, football second. That's the only two things I've got going for me, family and football. So family will absolutely come into it. But to be honest, I've not thought too much about a club or what's next in that regard. I am looking forward to these two Ireland games. I am looking forward to going on holiday. And then, you know, just in football, you never know what will happen. And just see what's next. If it feels right, if it doesn't, just see what's next.
It kind of feels that we've got into a habit of just referring to Seamus Coleman finishing up with Everton and Seamus Coleman finishing up in football. Not the case. I know he's taken a bit of time to assess what his options are, but Seamus Coleman's career, onwards and upwards.
Yeah, hopefully there's a lovely coda to it. It's hard to know though. Like, I wouldn't be, fair play to him, I wouldn't be so laissez-faire about like where it's ending up. I'd pretty much want to know. But I'm sure he has different things going on.
Unless he is actually retiring and he's like, let's see, and he's being deliberately laissez-faire about it because he just wants to go coaching straight away.
I don't think he would have come into the Ireland camp for these two games. I know he was calling this a carrot earlier today that was put in front of him, that, you know, Halgrimsson looks like he's going to continue to pick him if he stays fit. And he mentioned earlier on today as well that he felt he was fit for quite a bit of the season, but Everton weren't picking him. And then he was unfortunate with some of the injuries that kind of broke the flow of the season for him. But I would think if he didn't have serious aspirations now of playing on, he wouldn't have come in for the Qatar and Canada games, because he got his home send off the last time. His kids came out as the, you know, the ball children before the game and stuff as well. I kind of felt like he was almost preparing for international retirement at that stage. But if he feels maybe that there's another year or 2 years in him, he could potentially get to the Euros, why not keep going? I still think somewhere like Coventry would be perfect for him. Reunite with Frank Lampard, team have just come up, he brings his experience to them, comes into a team like that. I think Coleman can still stay at that level.
Yeah, that would be a great outcome for everybody involved if we had him back in the Premier League next season. Now then, on to Hamer Halgrimsson.
Yeah, well, he's been speaking about the Israel issue, which again, later today, it would seem that a quota is going to be met by members of the executive of the FAI to force an EGM about these games. So potentially more about this tomorrow. David Snaid's got a story in the 42 where he's been speaking to some of the delegates, and he thinks that they'll meet the 15% that is required to force that EGM. So potentially more on that tomorrow. But the Ireland manager, Hamer Halgrimsson, speaking earlier today as well, feels that those upcoming Nations League fixtures with Israel have put his players in an unfair position. A protest took place outside the Dáil yesterday against the FAI's decision to play those games and the government's backing of that choice. Last year, the Icelandic coach questioned why UEFA and FIFA had not already sanctioned Israel. He said today the team need to focus on winning both of those matches, and he also doesn't want the home game to be moved from Dublin.
Yeah, obviously focusing on the football side of things. I've already expressed my opinion on this matter. Don't need to repeat that one. But from a footballing perspective, it's an obstacle I don't like in, and it's unfair to for the players to be in this position and us to be in this position. But from the footballing perspective, I don't like us to be the bad guys. We are not the bad guys here. So we just want to perform. We want to play, and the players would like to perform for the country and do well. And I think the best answer for us is just to win this game, to win this war against them. That would be a perfect answer from my end. Other decisions are not made by us, but all the players would like to represent the country and do well for them, no matter who's the opponent.
How would you feel if the home game was moved to a neutral venue?
It would obviously be disadvantaged from footballing reasons not to play at home. We've done really well at home. Hopefully we'll continue that tomorrow against Qatar. It's building to be a strong fortress for us, Aviva, and to move it obviously will lower our chances. So I hope people can rally around the players and us playing. So instead of protesting or doing something that's damaging.
Yeah, Hamer Halgrimsson speaking earlier there, and as Will touched on, David Snaid of the 42 reporting that this letter has been sent to the FAI's General Assembly, and they're being asked to back a motion which would essentially compel the FAI to convene an EGM. So at this EGM, there would be a motion calling on the FAI to refuse to participate in the two games against Israel on both legal and on moral grounds. Of course, there was an EGM that took place last year where the General Assembly voted massively in favour of asking UEFA to impose sanctions on Israel, but this would actually involve the boycott of this fixture, because obviously we now know that Ireland have to play Israel in these two fixtures. The motion has been proposed by the PFAI, by the Irish Football Supporters Partnership, CK United, Cork City and Bohemians, and then you need a 10% of the General Assembly to support the call to convene an EGM for an EGM to be called. So the authors of the letter, according to David Snaid's piece, they expect to have the required numbers by tomorrow, but they've set a deadline of 5 p.m. on Friday to respond. Just to go through the letter that he has seen and reported on, it says that the aim is to trigger an EGM where all delegates can debate and vote on this issue, empower the membership to have a healthy debate on the issue, and strengthen the FAI's reputation as a principled, rules-based association that listens to its members and reflects overwhelming public sentiment in Ireland. This motion, if passed, will be non-binding, and we recognise the decision ultimately rests with the executive, but is about putting on record a clear signal of the feeling of many within the game here. Relating to legal grounds, UEFA and FIFA statutes are clear. No association may organise clubs on the territory of another without consent. Every association must implement and enforce robust anti-racism policies. The Israel Football Association continues to blatantly breach these rules, and UEFA has failed to act. The number of teams on illegally occupied lands has now increased from 6 to 10 teams. On moral grounds, the situation facing Palestinians needs no explanation. Since the EGM held last November, we've seen many key stakeholders in our game call for the matches to go ahead. And then they finish up by writing, we are writing to you regarding a proposal to convene an EGM of the FAI as soon as possible to bring forward a motion calling on the FAI to refuse to participate in the two scheduled fixtures against Israel later this year on both legal and moral grounds. So that is the latest on that story.
Yeah, I've got the Conference League final, which is coming up in about 45 minutes' time as well. Crystal Palace up against Rayo Vallecano. The big team news ahead of this one is that Adam Wharton will start despite coming off with an ankle injury against Arsenal on the weekend just gone by. Chris Richards was also described yesterday as 50-50 before the game, and he's only fit enough for a place on the bench. There are six changes from that defeat against the Gunners on the last day of the Premier League season, but Henderson's in goal. Riyad Lacroix, Canvo, Munoz in defence. You've got Wharton and Kamada at the base of midfield. Mitchell, Sar, Pino, and then Mateta is going to be at the front of that Crystal Palace team. Ilias is not fit to start, Rayo Vallecano's star winger, and he is on the bench for them.
Very good. We have the latest from the French Open.
We do, yeah. Iga Świątek, one of the big winners earlier today at the French Open. We're not quite getting the big shock that we had yesterday, like Daniel Medvedev, the former world number one who crashed out. But the world number two, Rybakina, is now knocked out in one of the other biggest shocks that we've seen so far. She has had a surprise second round defeat against a player well down the world rankings in 55th. That is Yulia Strabaseva. It's the biggest shock we've seen on the women's side of the draw so far. It was a comeback win in the end because Rybakina had won the first set, but then lost the second and lost the third on a tiebreaker, which went all the way to 10-4 on the tiebreaker. So that is the biggest shock that we've had of the day today. And as I said earlier on, Iga Świątek had no problem in the early session, and Zverev is going to be playing later on tonight. So we shall see how that goes.
Okay, where do you want to take us next?
I think a bit of rugby news. We've got New Zealand captain Scott Barrett is definitely out of the All Blacks game against Ireland in July. The Canterbury Lock is facing several months on the sidelines as he recovers from back surgery. He had hoped to prove his fitness ahead of the Nations Championship, but the back issue has required him to undergo a procedure. Also, a little bit earlier today, Alex Codling will be leaving Munster at the end of the season. Their forwards coach is suspected he's going to go to Toulon. Munster said in their statement he has an offer in the French top 14, but Toulon were very much being heavily linked to them last week. So it looks like the Munster coaching ticket, even if Clayton McMillan is at the front of it, will look quite different next season.
Okay, we have some news on Tyson Fury.
We do. Well, it's news coming from Tyson Fury himself. He's revealed that he's going to be fighting in Dublin in August ahead of his heavyweight showdown with Anthony Joshua later this year. The former world champion won his comeback fight last month and posted an Instagram story earlier today announcing a Dublin date for his next fight. It is expected he'll join the card for Pierce O'Leary's bout against Mark Cunningham, which is at the Three Arena on August the 1st, and his opponent is yet to be announced, but it's been very much suggested it's not going to be really Ruiz, the former world champion, to beat Anthony Joshua. Frank Warren was saying last week that's not in the making, but it'd be interesting to see Tyson Fury going to an arena like the Three Arena. That was the one that surprised me.
Yeah, definitely. And like, who's the headliner on this? Like, Pierce O'Leary is the current headliner, isn't he?
Yeah. But if Tyson Fury's on the card, Tyson Fury's the headline. You co-headline all you want.
You would think so.
Yeah.
That would be quite something.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know. I wonder the last time he fought in a venue that size.
Probably the Three Arena when he fought all those years back in the undercard of Bernard Dunn.
Because even the 50, was it 15 he fought Klitschko? The first, when he won first.
Mm. And he's been stadiums for the last 10 years.
That was it was in where Stuttgart or wherever it was. Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of mad. It's kind of, if he's sort of, as you're saying, like, almost like a tune-up fight just on the, somewhere buried in there.
Yeah.
It is hard to imagine how that will not change everything.
Yeah.
It's the price of tickets, like.
I know.
It's, I'm getting mixed up here. It wasn't Dunn, it was Big Bang Casey and Rigondeaux. That was the fight that Fury was on the undercard of back in 2011.
Rigondeaux seemed to fight here a lot as well back in the day.
Yeah. What have you got next for us, Will?
Well, the Irish AFL coaching team has been announced today as well. Former Tipperary player Colin O'Riordan is going to be the head coach for Ireland's AFLW clash against Australia this summer. Part of his coaching team will be the Mayo legend Cora Staunton as well. O'Riordan is currently the head coach of the Sydney Swans women's team. The first ever women's clash between Ireland and Australia will be played entirely under Australian rules, and it'll be at the North Sydney Oval, 16,000 capacity on the 1st of August. It's right at the tail end of the pre-season for the new AFL season. Collingwood's Sarah Rowe was on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning. She says it should be a pretty exciting game.
You represent your country. You represent what you feel is like the GAA, your home, your family, and you're combining your world of your AFLW. And there is massive respect between the Irish girls and the Australian girls as well. So I think together that game, I think it will be like full steam ahead. There will be nothing held back on that day. And I think it will be a really competitive contest. But it's hard to know what the game will look like, whether the Irish approach would be more of a Gaelic football look, or whether it would be a tactical AFLW approach. Like, it's hard to know what the coaches would go with that. But obviously with the Irish players, like a lot of people say, the Irish players are really unpredictable, but we're quite predictable to each other because we know that half the time we're all trying to play Gaelic football out there. So it'll be interesting to see tactically how it all sets up. But I think it'll be an amazing occasion and a really exciting one. And again, to speak to the broader perspective of it all, it'll be amazing for women in sport.
Will we have time for one last story before you wrap up?
Yeah, it's one that we just got from the GAA a little while ago, and it comes off the Kerry and Donegal Malie from last weekend. So we understand here at Off the Ball the fines are incredibly likely for both counties, but the CCCC have given us a statement on the fact that there were no suspensions. We had Jim Gavin on this morning, and he was saying that Jim McGuinness was particularly lucky not to receive a 12-week minimum suspension. But they said to us that the CCCC generally does not comment on the specifics of any instance they review. But in terms of the Kerry versus Donegal game, we were satisfied that all relevant instances that were covered in the referee's report, and therefore there is no need for further action.
Okay, that's it.
That is
it. Put a pin in it. It's all over. By the way, keep an eye out on our social channels because we are going to be continuing the bigger story in GAA this week. We're going to have a great piece with Tommy and Rob Finnerty, I believe, up on our social channels, and Rob Finnerty will be giving his verdict on his teammate going into the Villa.
I believe Rob Finnerty has been teaching Tommy how to kick points even, and also the fact that he said what's going to happen in the Villa. So right, it should be up very, very soon, and a full 30-minute chat later in the week.
Will O'Callaghan, thank you very much for tonight's News Round. The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50-milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mL tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.